You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, in your day again, for our benefit, your day, for your will to be outworked, and for us to have an understanding of your person, of your saving grace, of your awesome involvement in the ordinary, making possible the extraordinary. And our God, we thank you. So deal with our heads and hearts in these moments that we might have the benefit of your just presence and ministry, Spirit of God, in Christ's name, amen. And if you would just think for a moment, if you would, you and I are busy in our little worlds around us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And all of that's taking place. All of that taking place. The nation, at the same time, is busy doing what it does all across these United States. And at the same time, all of the nations, China, Russia, all of them, Venezuela, wherever you want to go, all of those nations are busy doing what they're doing, planning what they're planning. The devil is busy doing what he does. All of it, all of that, all going on at once. And God is overseeing it, watching and outworking his awesome will. All of it taking place. But God, when we go to the top, God is doing what he's doing. And he's doing it because of Calvary's cross. John chapter 11, remember, Christ is crucified. And the basis of all of forever, from our standpoint, is Christ dying on the cross. God glorifying himself as God over all creation, including the stars, etc. So God's doing what he's doing. So whenever any hour of the day or minute that we live, and everything's going on in the news and everywhere around us and at distances, all of it, Israel, all of it taking place. And then there's God. Then there's God. Don't want to lose that. God is doing what he's doing because of his awesome, glorious, his glory. He is a glorious person, the only God, the only Savior. And God is expressing himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, as we shared this morning in the process, he went to the cross and died. He paid the penalty. He made the pardon possible. He made possible the resolution and the outworking, the restoration of everything. That's what he made possible. That Adam and Eve sinned and it loused up everything, including the stars and the weather and everything, animals, it loused the whole thing up. And God is putting it back together in a most awesome way. Now, having done so by the cross, the assurance, the settling of this, that God is doing it, he didn't just die, he rose again. To make what? All of it work out. That's what we want to look at. And in the light of John chapter 11, picking up, please, in, as you know, verse 25, Miss Martha talking about the resurrection. Chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe that? Do you believe that? I am the solution. I am going to the cross, and I'm going to go and rise again. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am all that you would ever hope for, and I am the solution to all that is needed. I am the resurrection and the life to restore everything to the way I want it. Ultimately, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, having said that, so, God, what are we looking at? What are we thinking about then in the light of being seated, risen and seated at the right hand of God? Acts chapter 2. So we'll just let the scriptures tell us what's going on. Acts chapter 2. I'm picking up, if I may. And in verse 30, 2 and verse 30, here's Peter on the day of Pentecost. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That's what he has to do. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. This is David, back then in the scriptures. He, seeing this, verse 31, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which we now see and hear. What was going on? Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith of himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Everything has to be finished. He died, rose again, he's seated. Everything has to happen. A green light, red light. You can't do anything to the cross, red light. Once he died on the cross, you got a green light. He rose again to make it all happen. Now, having said that, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So according to the scripture, we're looking, and God's wonderful, wonderful word is going to help us be clear, simply, to have it simple and plain, that God is going to do what he's going to do because he died on the cross and he rose again. The tomb is empty, etc. He's going to do what he's going to do, give green light. All the world's busy doing what it's doing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, he would say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So he's going to point to his son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the object. He's the centerpiece. He's the resurrected one. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Now, so therefore, when you read John 16, you have to turn there. John chapter 16 and that, 28. What does our Lord say? I came from my Father, and I'm going back to my Father. Do you understand? God the Son came in Christ Jesus, perfect humanity, did what he did to make it all happen, and he went back. I came from my Father, I'm going back to my Father. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, and what we're looking at, the resurrection, I want to know, all these things, they took place, they are set in cement, it's going to work out. So what do we know, God? What did you do when you rose again from the grave? You made possible our unique relationship, true, but oh, there's so much more. What did you show to the world? Not only an empty tomb, Romans 1:4, and God, I'll read verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, we just read in Acts chapter 2, of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, marked out ahead of time, to be the Son of God, with power, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, ability. God declared him to be the Son of God with power. God, you demonstrated who he is. And remember, who they crucified him. They didn't believe he was anybody. He's the Son of God. God, you're going to show the Son of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, in verse 4, a power according to the Spirit of holiness, how? By the resurrection from the dead. When he rose again, he gave, that's what we were trying to get this morning in that, do you understand? When he rose again, he confirmed he's the only God and the only Savior. There is no other. You can't answer the tomb. You can't answer an empty tomb, no matter how you cut the cookie. You can't answer it. And the only way you'll come to grips with a solution and an answer is look to God. When you look to God, the resurrection confirms God took on a human house in Bethlehem, etc. Baby, born Jesus, born crucified and risen again. He's confirmed. So the resurrection confirms what the empty tomb is shouting out. The empty tomb is shouting to pay attention. Remember we shared it this morning, that both Mark, John and Matthew, Mark and Luke, come, angel, what are you saying? Come see the place where he laid. Not just, it was very pointed, a very direct statement. Go look at that where the body is. The body will have a huge message for you. See, and we did all that this morning. Now, so therefore, not only is he pronounced and said to be the Son of God in power and with power, that is the resurrection. And so our wonderful, wonderful acceptance is based on who he is. So back in, well, you're in Romans, Romans in chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him, I'll read verse 3. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Okay, for righteousness. He believed God. Sliding over to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God, you got to believe the justification. God is able to declare someone right who's really guilty as can be. He declares them right when they're wrong. Who can do that? God. Why can you do it? Because God died on the cross to restore and make possible his wonderful saving grace. So now, having said that, in the end of verse 5, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham, sliding over to verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham and his Sarah can't do anything, but God can. You and I, without me, God the Lord said, John 15, we can do nothing. So what? But we agree. We agree with Abraham. We don't have to be 100 years old. I agree. Without him, we can't do it. God, you can do it, though. Therefore, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So whatever God said he was going to do, we can do it. That's right. What's he going to do? And now there, verse 22. Therefore, it was imputed to him, reckoned to him, put to his account. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how Abraham got saved. He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. Why? What are you saying that for, God? Because, verse 24, but for us also, that's us, God, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, if you believe in his resurrection. Verse 25. Who, his resurrection, the resurrected Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, an empty tomb for our justification. We're justified. Why? Because he rose again. He made things that were wrong able to be right. That's what he did. He did that for us. His resurrection, green light, all of it has to happen. All of it has to be confirmed. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if you can, sliding down chapter 5. Therefore, because it connected, therefore, in the light of being his justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, you've given a wonderful, wonderful way to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to your wonderful person. So therefore, God, and you do so in power, the power of the resurrection God, the awesome power of the resurrection. Now, having said that, and you're going to go and outwork all of it, and all of it's going to outwork in a wonderful, wonderful relationship to you. Eternal life, John 17 and 3 and that, is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know God. That's eternal life. John 11, 25, 26. I am the resurrection and the life. What is life? I am the resurrection. It's to know you, God, to know the Father, and to know the Son, to know God's saving grace, able to save us to the uttermost, to the end of all ends, to keep us. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to John and Romans in chapter 6, while you're here. And in Romans in chapter 6, picking up in thought, starting in verse 2, God forbid, how should we that are dead to sin, live any longer therein. We got saved. Know you not, as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus, identified in his death, etc. We're baptized, identified into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so as God raised up Christ, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's being why? For the reason. Verse 5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If one is true, there has to be the second. If you died, if he took you to the cross, do you understand? He took you to the cross and buried. He paid the penalty for our sin, put the sin away, buried it, and he rose again to make possible a relationship that was impossible by way of Calvary's cross, by his resurrection. His cross condemns us and pays the penalty. His resurrected life provides a wonderful relationship to who he is. That's what it does. And that God provided that. That's what he did when he died. He rose again and made that possible. That's what he made possible in a most, most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and if you can, over in, while you're here, look, thinking of that, over to Galatians in chapter 20. You're going to try chapter 20. Chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse 20, and you know, remember to walk in newness of life. And why so? I am crucified with Christ. That's right. Christ took me to the cross and paid the penalty. When Christ died, I died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live. Well, why is that? Yet not I live in this body, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by in the faith, the body of truth, to be believed, etc., his God's faithfulness, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm able to go, and God, I'm to walk in newness of life. Christ crucified me and gave me a wonderful opportunity to enjoy a walk in newness of life with him in a most wonderful way. Ephesians and chapter 1. And God, in your wonderful grace, you're going to go and provide the power to do so. Raised again in power, and that power is now given to us to have the life that's impossible to live apart from you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan. He's outworking that plan. Back to the red light and the green light. You got a green light. God has a green light to outwork his will in your life because of his resurrection. His resurrected life. That's why it's worked out. God gave you a green light. It's there. It's provided. Empty tomb. A risen Christ. You better know it now. So therefore, if I can, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, his dynamite, his wonderful, wonderful power, ability, to usward, that's us, who believe, not just, you got to be a believer, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What kind of power? When? Verse 20. When which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. God rose him up from the grave. We read in Acts chapter 2. God rose him, had him rise up in power. And that power, that kind of life. You say, well, I believe God gave me a wonderful, his resurrected life. God makes that life possible, practical. profitable, pleasing to God. God does that according to his power. What power? The power that took him from the grave, took him from behind that stone, and had him rise again in his perfect humanity. It's that power that set. That's the what happened in the resurrection. That happened. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's the body. Verse 23, the body, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's the head, and he's the head, as it were, and the body is now the head has a unique relationship to the body. The head shows the body shows the head, a unity relationship. It's a relationship. I am the vine, ye are the branches. It's a wonderful thing. A relationship. That's what God did. Make it possible. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and having that, and hanging on to that thought, if you can, and hold your finger here a minute, and go over with me to Philippians, coming, it's right next door, not far away. Philippians in chapter 10. The desire of Paul and believers that are trying to understand and enjoy being alive and walking in newness of life. And one of them, going to chapter 3, and picking up, please, in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, said Paul, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, waste, useless, that I may win Christ. I don't want anything in the way between me and God. I want God's will for my life. I don't want my dreams, my aspirations, my desires. I don't want my problems. I don't want my friends. I don't want my enemy. I don't want my family. I don't want anyone to be between me and God's will for my life. That's what he wants. I got it. Wow. Now, having said that in Philippians, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, remember, right, imputed by faith, by the resurrection. That's where we got it. Christ rose again to make it just us justified so we can be righteous, which is of the law. But that which is brought faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, verse 10, that, why do you want all this? Why do you put everything aside to what? What are you after, Paul? That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to be able to know. I want to know his life. What God made possible by his resurrection for you and me. His cross took care so that God could do something. His resurrection makes it doable. And that's what's there. So, what do you want, Paul? I want to be exercising the life that God has made possible by his resurrection. I want to be able to say it simply in Romans, to walk in newness of life. That's what I want to do. I want to enjoy living in the midst of a world of death, in a body of death. Remember Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? As a believer, we're in it. We're dying. But I don't want anything to take away from what God has made possible. Wow. By his resurrection. So, back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, this wonderful, wonderful position that God has done for us in a most wonderful way, make possible life. Now, God, and he has to tell us so that we understand, this is really, really, really real. There's no make-believe, no playing games with this. God, did you really make possible this kind of relationship by way of your resurrection? Did you make this really, really possible? Yes. Now, God, I'm wondering, here I am, I'm just me. Ephesians chapter 2, picking up if I may. Remember, we're his body, and he is seated at the right hand of God. So therefore, God, what do I need to have a little piece of information? Chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised Christ, I'll read verse 5. And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, together with Christ, by grace he is saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what he did. He raised us up and gave us a what? His resurrected life. That's what he made possible. He made that possible. So therefore, I'm going to go and exercise a relationship to God that he cost him his son, and he rose again to make sure you understand he got a green light to go for it. They aren't playing games with this. We aren't trying to be religious, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Islamic. We don't want to be any of it. No, we want to be believers. Now, so in the process, God has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Purpose. That's why you're there. That's why the church is his body. It's different. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Wow. God is going to what? In a world, remember we said this 1,000 times, the world, Jewish nation rejected Christ, crucified him. The world doesn't care and helped crucify him. And in this time of unbelief, as we shared this morning and that, down, 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 society is just going down, darkness. And in the process, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and show my exceeding grace. I'm going to save, not like in Israel, to part of the Jews. No, I'm not. They can be saved in the church, but they can believe just like Jew and Gentile can believe now. I'm going to take a whosoever. I'm not spelling out the nation. I'm not making it this and that kind of group. I'm not grouping anything. I'm finding whosoever's, and I'm going to save them by my grace and make them part of my body. And they don't, they're in a world, what are they being, how are they being saved? They're being saved in a darkening, dead world. They're whosoever's. They're nobody's. And I'm saving them. I'm saving them to show my grace. And it isn't because they're part of the priesthood of Israel or something, no. No, I'm going to show my grace. That's what he's doing. We're seated in heavenly places. So God, being seated in heavenly places. Do you understand? That's where we are. Hold your finger here. Go over to Revelation. And in Revelation, if I can, chapter 3. So our incentive is that where are we headed? Where am I? Here we are now. We're just us guys coming and going, eating and drinking. But we are the privileged ones to end up seated there. We're going to be seated where he's seated. Revelation chapter 3, as you know, and in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, or girl hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I'm going to have you sit with me. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. You're seated in heavenly places. That's the incentive. That's the where you're headed. That's why you got that. With that incentive, not if you do thus and thus and thus and thus, you'll be seated. No, you're already seated to be motivated, moved, to go forward. You got a green light to go. God's arisen. He's given you his wonderful, awesome, resurrected power. The power that brought him back from the dead is the power that gives you life to take you from a state of death to one of a wonderful relationship to God. Now, back over, if I can, Ephesians, and in chapter 1. And you will note, please, in Ephesians 1, picking up, please, and remember now what you did, so you see it a little bit. The chapter 1, verse 20, the very end. At his own right hand in heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse 6, the end of the verse. To sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Power, wonderful position. We're positioned to sit. We aren't working. We aren't making anything happen. We're seated. And therefore, in heavenly places. And our resources, chapter 1, as you know, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have an awesome position. And that is for real. That is the basis to motivate, to inspire, to get you to wake up and understand. You're here with all everything going on in dark and what it is. But God is over all of this. God's doing what he's doing. And this is where you're going. This is why you're moving through time. In order to what? To demonstrate as his witnesses God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. Now, having said that, God's promise, God's pledge to do what he's going to do. So when? What do we know? Well, Christ, we say it. Christ died on the cross. He was buried, according to the scriptures, and he rose again, according to the scriptures. That's what he did, according to the scriptures. That's what we've been reading, the scriptures, to know what he did and why he did it. Therefore, we don't have to guess at it. We don't have to fool with it. So therefore, when you and I find that Christ didn't die for himself, he died for you and me. If you and I were the only one, he would have had to die for us. If we were the only one, he would have had to die. He died for you, his death. So when I look at the cross, I am to understand that is holding me in Christ, my death. And if that holds me, and if he holds me in my death, for my death, when he's buried, finished, I find myself in the tomb. When I find myself in the tomb, I find myself in an empty body, empty robe, empty wrappings. I find myself risen. Christ died for me. I was buried, and he rose again for me. I have my death, my burial, and my life. And he rose again, and I am seated. All of that happened. The moment Christ died and rose again and is set down, seated at the right hand of God. And all of that is done. for the believing heart. Finished. So don't do anything. What do I need to do? You can't. All you can do is understand it and try to exercise it in a most wonderful way. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me will never perish, etc. And if you believe that I am the resurrection and the life when you receive me, do you have the resurrection? When do I have the resurrection? When I received. Well, Christ is the resurrection. Where did I get the life? The Lord Jesus Christ is my life. He's the resurrection of my life. What about your resurrection? I already have it. It's already confirmed. It's already mine. How can it be yours? I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's why I got it. See? How do you know you're going to be resurrected? Because Christ in me is the resurrection. He guarantees it. So there's no question. So what I'm doing, I'm operating on the information I need to understand. Do you know when you go and up in the space things and all of that? You know when they're doing what they're doing, they have to go. They can't sit there and guess with the vehicles and whatever they got going on. They can't sit there and guess. They can't look up with the binoculars and see what's going on. They have to go by the instruments. They have to go by the readings. That's all they can go by. What are we going to do? We aren't trying to go by what we feel. Back to the airplane illustration. The airplane. You have to go, and if you don't, follow the instruments. One of the things, if you had to be a pilot, or if you're ever caught in a jet and the pilots die and they ask you to come in and fly the plane, so they don't, when you come in, fly the plane, and you get in there with all those instruments, what are you going to do? You're going to have to go by the instruments. In order to be a pilot, you've got to learn to fly by the instruments. Why? Because if you don't, you'll be deceived. And you know all that. When you're up in an airplane and you look out the window, you don't know whether you're going up or down. You don't know what you're doing. You've got to have the instruments. You'll be deceived. That's why planes crash. Because they're looking out and think that it's one thing, level and height and everything else. And it isn't really. The instruments tell you, you're deceived up there in space. You're deceived. What are we going to do? We're going to be hooked down here and lose out. We have to go by the instruments. We have to go by the scriptures so that we know and understand. That's what we're doing. Reminding ourselves to be scriptural, to go by the instruments and not by our feelings and our fears and how things are going in our life. All of that's true, more or less. But that's not the issue. You don't go by that. If I go up in an airplane, if I did, I can look out the window. It doesn't bother me. I look out and try to see up and down and, you know, and see whatever. I can do that. The pilot has to go by the instruments. He's trying to make that plane go in a certain way, in a certain level, and everything, altitude. He has to do it. I don't have to do it. If I had to do it, I have to do what he does. I'm flying. I'm going. Who's in charge of the instruments? God. God said, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. That's why I gave you the scriptures. To what? Believe them. I gave you a green light. Believe them. And that's how you're going to live. But, no. Go by the instruments. Go by the scriptures. So you don't goof and you crash. Don't do it. Go by what I've told you. You're saved. But maybe I'm not saved. Be saved. Be safe. Be secure. Be looking to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, God will bless your heart in all of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so now, over if I can in the light of that. And we have to go and look at things which we can't see, 2 Corinthians, etc. And we have to do that. And so therefore, God, what are you going to do? Well, God, I got the instruments. What do I know about the world in which I live? The world doesn't care about your resurrection. They don't even care about your crucifixion. They don't. Now, God, but what do you and I know? What we said in the beginning. The world's busy all over the world doing what it's doing. And the devil's doing. And the governments are doing. And the politics are doing. And the religions are doing. But God is over it all. He's over it all. And all of it is answerable. Has to answer to God. John chapter 12. John in chapter 12. If I can, John 12, a little background for what we're looking at. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, remember God spoke, he was dealing with the Father, and it was a verbal thing that people could listen to. He made it, he did it for them to listen, the conversation. God didn't have a private one, he had a public one. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, the devil, be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up the cross from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying, verse 33, what death he shall die. If I be lifted up, what do we know? Before anything was ever created, Christ died, the Lamb of God, for the sin of the world. No one is created except God has made provision for them to be saved. They have to be saved. That's why the world is in rebellion. Why? They don't want to be saved. No matter where, they don't want to be saved. Romans 1, God tells them he's the wonderful God and wonderful Savior, and I turn it off. I turn it off at 2 years old. Turn it off. I don't want to hear. I want to be like everybody else. I want my life. I want to have my life, live my life as I see fit, no matter what the conditions are, Chinese or whatever. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so God summons every human being when he was died on the cross. Every human being has to answer to God. No matter how you do it, every human being has to answer to God. Therefore, you know, why do they have to answer to God? Acts chapter 17. And Acts chapter 17. And you will note, we read it this morning, noted it. Chapter 17, verse 31. Because by this man, because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. The Lord is judging resurrection, first resurrection, second resurrection. By that man, who, which man? That man which he or hath ordained. Who's that? Whereof, how do we know which one it is? He hath given assurance unto all men, so that there's no question, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There's no question. Who is this man? Jesus. How do you know? He's the only one. Empty tomb, risen Christ. He's the one that you answer. He has to answer to all of it. Now, having said that, so we are his witnesses, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we are, and is thus now, over in Romans, over, and we're his witnesses. Now, And so therefore, Romans in chapter 10. And in Romans in chapter 10, picking up if I may. Chapter 10, sliding if I may, in Romans chapter 10, over to verse 9. Verse 8. But what saith the scriptures? What saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth. Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, I think. And even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Now, you know this, but think about it, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, he's the only God and the only Savior. If you believe and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe, what am I supposed to believe in my heart? That God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Oh, God died. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. He died for me. But I don't do anything else in my mind. I just accept it. I don't have to do much with it. I can believe that. Christ died for me. But I don't do anything with it. What am I going to do? Christ died and was buried and rose again. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I need to go beside just an academic or a straight factual thing that doesn't relate to me. I need to believe. I need to have a relationship to God that is for real. And in the process, in verse 10, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's motivation. Is what? Christ is risen from the dead, and that's why he's doing what he's doing, and that's why all these things are true. God gave a green light. All of it's to be happening in a most wonderful way. And that's what I need to know. Is God able to save? Yes, because he died on the cross and rose again. And I am able to go and receive him as my Savior. If I never receive him, pardoned I may be, but I never have the right, I never have the privilege of honoring and enjoying his person and his power and his presence. I don't have the enjoyment of that. Therefore, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth, in my heart I believe what? He rose again. That's what we've been looking at. That's why the empty tomb, where we can't find him. That's right, he's risen. Where am I going to find him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can't find empty tomb. Where did God go? He's right here, able to save me to the uttermost. I need to receive him. That's the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why can we say that? He's risen, here, able to save us. Not a distance, able to do it. We aren't talking about the cross. We're talking about what he has made possible because of the cross to be able to have a relationship to God. And here it is, again, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Going to labor to go and look to God. Now, having said that little bit, I hope you got a little bit. Now, so in the process, years of over 100 years ago, actually, in Prussia, in North, a Hanoverian Countess. Hanoverovia is in the north part of Germany, back then a province of Prussia up there. And a Hanoverian countess was not doing too good, and she had a request, a set, because she had authority, and she had rules, because she was going to die. She didn't believe in a resurrection. And no one's going to convince her at all. So therefore, in the process of that, she went and gave instructions for her burial. And she was to take a big granite slab, solid piece, and lay it over the burial site. And then they were to take big slabs of concrete, or that, and I wouldn't use it, they wouldn't say concrete, of granite stones. And to take the granite stones and line them all up around that big piece of granite, big piece of, in the middle, and line all the granite stones around. And then go and put iron clamps around each of the things around here and tie them all to the granite centerpiece so that everything is tied together in one big circle, as it were, of all of the tied. So, and then they put on the top of that the burial place. This burial place has been purchased to all eternity. Therefore, must never be opened. That's what she never. Don't ever touch this place. Never touch it. I don't believe in the resurrection. Resurrection, rise up from the dead. Now, having said that, and so then, having said that, then the interesting thing in history, God's marvelous ability. We drop an atomic bomb or something in the island, and then pretty soon the island's dead. Just hold your breath, and the island will all grow again. God overcomes everything. God and what he does. Wow. Now, so here. And no one was to go and do anything, but God, in his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way, demonstrated. And a little birch tree seed got down in between the granite and the centerpiece. That's a little piece, little seed. And time went on. And you can guess, don't you? The little seed, all little seeds are so aggressive. And the little seed found down there to where the dirt was. And the little seed worked, and pretty soon, what do we find? A big birch tree. And the stone slab leaning up against it, and the grave all torn apart, the chains all broken, the clamps all gone. God, no one can open this grave. God said, I'm going to. Okay? No one can do it. Wrong. That's why you go by what he says. You go by the scriptures. That's what we're trying to read. So that we don't go by our feelings. How's work going? How's school going? How's your marriage going? How's your health going? And we get all of those different things. And all of those things are there. But the base that we're resting on ought to be. We go by the scriptures. We go by the instrument. So we're safe as we journey and walk. Down the corridor of time. Well, I hope you get a little bit. Motivation, the resurrection, settles. It's got to get a green light. It's all going to be a new heavens and a new earth because God gave a green light. Everything's going to be. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you that we can look to you. Deal with our heads and our hearts as we seek to try to understand and remind ourselves, God. We get so caught up in anything and everything except what we should. So help us to be good pilots, as it were, as we go down the corridor of time. God, that we would fly by the instrument, go by the scriptures, go by your presence, go by your power. Go by all that you have made possible for our journey. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.